RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Talk about that one a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Team with the most to gain.
I think Indiana. I know they're number one, but it's still Indiana. It's still a team that, as much as they've done and exceeded what we expected this year and everything since Cignetti has shown up, I still think there are a decent amount of people who are like, yeah, I get it, you beat Ohio State, but they didn't really care, right? To go to the Rose Bowl, to beat and cover against a team like Alabama, those helmets, that iconic maroon helmet with the numbers
crimson,
on the,
please.
Oh, sorry, crimson helmet. I actually think Indiana has the most of the game.
I'm going to go with Oregon.
I could agree with that.
You know what I mean? Like they've kind of been knocking on the door. And, man, if you can't get this one, like, there starts to be, like, I know everyone's darling is Dan Lanning, but, like, I've always been a little bit skeptical.
And you brought up the, I think you brought it up before, right? The Dan Lanning big game?
Yeah, he's not great.
So, I could listen to Oregon.
That was fun. Team of the most to lose, it has to be Ohio State, right? I know they're the defending national champion, but doesn't it just feel like if you lose to Miami as, like, a 10-point favorite, we're just going to go back to, man, this is crying day. This is what he does.
Could I say the most to gain and the most to lose are the same team?
Ohio State or Indiana?
If Indiana loses this game, like, well, see, can't do it. Can't do it against the big boys.
I got no problem with that.
You know, last year, went to Notre Dame. Last year, Ohio State. This year, Alabama.
All right, and then finally, the game that will produce the most unfounded narrative.
Ooh. I could see Oregon, Texas Tech.
I think there's two clear choices.
Moneyball just doesn't do it. You know, money can only get
and
you
big,
so far.
Big
in
12,
football.
Big 12. It's not the real league.
Told you, 68 number and strength of schedule. Who'd they play?
Correct.
Yeah,
I'm going Rose Bowl because I think there's narrative both ways. To your point, if Indiana loses, see, not for real. And then if Indiana wins, Bama's dead, like all this. And it's really not going to be indicative one way or the other because everything's going to change year to year. But I do think the Rose Bowl's like ripe for narrative. And especially the Rose Bowl feels like it brings out the journos that only cover two college games a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, quickly before we go to break, because this isn't going to be a full topic. I was flipping through and on Cowherd today, Joel Klatt was on, and he's wearing like a Rose Bowl hat. How do we feel about that?
Like the
issued, like the Tournament of Roses logo.
Like Rob Lowe wearing the NFL hat?
Yeah, just a Tournament of Roses. It was a gray hat.
It's not even calling the game.
I know Fox doesn't have the rights, but it also makes me go like, man, I don't know. I feel like you could have found another hat. It's not that it's a bad logo. Like, I don't know. That was just kind of like, that's kind of weird.
Joel's had some takes these past couple weeks, huh?
Yeah, he did at least, like, he at least owned the worst take of all time.
He did.
Like
I'll give him credit.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people in our industry who will not own anything.
Correct. He owned
so
it.
I will give him credit for that.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I wanted to discuss a little bit of Monday Night Football. We've also had some news. Chip Kelly's got a new home. Steph Diggs, what up? We'll discuss all that and more, including there's also a narrative out there that I feel like is wildly under-discussed, and we need to bring this up, and I want to bring it to everyone's attention. We'll discuss that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. The National Football League. All right, Tim, we had kind of an all-time wild Monday night game last night where the Falcons jump up 21-0, and immediately immediately Joe Buck mentions the last time they had a 21-point lead at halftime was the Super Bowl, 28-3. And it looked like for a moment you thought, oh, wait, the Falcons are going to do it again. And you thought they were going to pull it off. But lo and behold, the Rams were just as dedicated to not winning that game as the Falcons were. It ended up being fairly entertaining. But I was thinking about it now in these terms. I understand last night the Rams, they had been eliminated from hosting the one seed prior to because the Niners won on Sunday Night Football. Does this feel like the first time ever we could have a Super Bowl of two wildcard teams? There's technically, like, in the 70s when the format was different, but, like, in terms of the actual wild card era, this would be the first time. We've had wild card champions, but we've never had two wild card teams make the Super Bowl.
So your wild card teams as of today, Houston, Chargers, Buffalo in the AFC.
That's locked in because the only thing that's left undecided is
AFC North.
AFC North and then I think the one seed.
Correct. Yeah, Denver and New England. Denver has the tiebreaker right now.
Right.
And then in the NFC, we're locked into the... no, we're not. Wild card could be loser of Seattle, San Francisco.
Correct.
The Rams and the Packers. Well, I'll just say this. From a betting standpoint, your Super Bowl favorite is still the Rams, I believe. And I want to say that the Bills are the betting favorite in the AFC. So based off of the odds, you would say, yes, that is a good chance of happening. Right now, your favorite to win the AFC is actually Denver, which, yeah.
So here's my thing on Denver.
Buffalo's plus 550, so I was a bit off. They are third, tied for third.
While I do not respect Bo Nix, I do respect Mile High Stadium.
And that defense is...
Like, I'm going to look it up. I feel like their home playoff record is insane.
I think the NFC is much more likely. I don't know, much more. Is more likely to have a wild card team than the AFC. But, like, I could poke holes in every single team, man.
Well, I think that's kind of what's a little bit interesting about this is, and this is kind of the larger point that I've been thinking about. We went straight from...
By the way, Houston is pretty nasty right now defensively.
I think that, but I think this all goes to, like, do you really trust the offense? The defense is nasty. But, like, we went from the era of Brady, Manning, straight to the era of Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if last year, rather than spending all the time and all the oxygen about whether or not Jalen Hurts is elite, he's not, by the way. He's a very good player. What if...
That offense in the second half was, whoa, buddy.
Well, like, what if what we actually saw was a changing of the guard in this sense? If you look at the Chiefs are at home.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals are at home. Obviously, Burrow got hurt, but they're at home.
Baltimore might be at home.
Baltimore could be at home. The only of the high-paid quarterbacks, and they're not for the first time, I think, in 5 years, they're not going to win the division, is the Bills. And I
How high-paid is Trevor Lawrence?
I want to say he was like seventh.
Okay.
Let me double check on that.
Herbert's up there.
Are
you just talking about the AFC or are we looking at the NFC too?
All right, so Dak is obviously the highest paid per year.
T-Law is four.
And if you go by, let's say fully guaranteed. Good God. Deshaun's obviously one. Allen, Burrow, Lawrence. Yeah, so he's four. But like, the thing that I'm wondering about with the Eagles is, it's not like Jalen Hurts was on a rookie deal. But all these teams that have basically paid their quarterback the sum of all sums of money, their entire roster is not quite as good. And what I'm now wondering is, are we going to get back to, remember when everyone thought the Seahawks had figured it out? Russ Wilson on the cheap deal, put all the money elsewhere. Remember, everyone thought that was the formula. Well, then they had to pay Russ. I almost wonder if, like, that's kind of what we're getting back to. It's not even necessarily – it was almost the thought was in the Burrow, Mahomes, like, that whole era was, if you didn't have one of those guys, you need not apply. I almost wonder if the Eagles showed us last year you can still win without one of those guys. And is that where we're headed this year?
I think so, but – also, Matthew Stafford could very well win the Super Bowl.
How do we feel about a Monday night game in week 17 pretty much sealing his fate? He's not going to be the MVP.
Dude, that was crazy. So, to get a little gambling nerdy on you guys, the betting market was just bonkers last night watching that game. It was, so Matthew Stafford entered the game minus 230 to win MVP, and then it was just like a roller coaster ride the whole entire game. I actually think he still should win it. I don't know if he will. May's the favorite now. I think when you look at strength of schedule, raw numbers,
yeah.
I actually think Stafford is better.
I mean, I know this. Stafford has had, as someone who's been kind of a Stafford skeptic, I thought this year he's been amazing.
He was not good last night.
He was not good last night. He was not good in their loss to Carolina, which, spoiler alert, oftentimes if you have a good team and you lose to a bad team, usually your quarterback.
Well, and if it's the full season, like Drake May lost to the Raiders.
Yes.
At home.
Yes.
Like that happened. So, Stafford's got more touchdowns. They have the same amount of picks now. Like, cool. Drake May destroyed the Jets.
I think that was kind of what didn't sit great with me last night. No offense, George.
It's okay.
Are we really just saying because, like, Drake got to play the Jets, like, it's over?
Like, Drake has played what? They've played three teams with an above 500 record?
So
Pittsburgh, Buffalo twice.
Correct. And potentially Carolina.
Look, I don't have it. Like, so this is one of the... a big pet peeve of mine, especially like living in the space that I talk in every night, which is people just want to defend their bets. And I'm guilty of it from time. I don't have a bet on either to win MVP. But right now it's the people who have the Drake May tickets. Can't perform like that. Like if Matthew Stafford had that performance in the noon central window on Sunday, does he flip from as far?
No, because he, you know what he did have that performance? About 3 weeks ago in Carolina.
Right. And then he bounced back even in a loss and was spectacular against Seattle. Wasn't his fault that they lost that game. So, I don't know. I don't think Drake May should be a minus 330 favorite right now. I think that's pretty ridiculous.
I think the other problem, though, is...
but Drake May's going to win the division.
Yeah, like
Stafford is not.
I think that's the problem. And also, Stafford could essentially finish third in his division.
And I believe Stafford would be the first quarterback to win MVP, not winning the division since 08, I believe, is the stat that I heard. I know Peterson didn't win the division when he won the MVP in 12. So it's a bit of an anomaly if he didn't win the division and won MVP. I don't really care. They're both really good. I would prefer Stafford to get it just because he's this late in his career and he was freaking awesome all year.
I my whole thing is, like, there's some people like, oh, May, whatever, May hasn't, he's too young, it's too soon. It's like, I don't care about that. Like, if you have the best year, you have the best year. I don't care about that.
It was like when Tebow won the Heisman as a freshman or redshirt.
Sophomore.
It was like, well, no sophomore's ever won. I was like, yeah, but no one's ever put up those numbers. Like, of course he's going to win it.
And then we got Manziel in his redshirt freshman year. Like, then we quit caring.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually weirdly have found myself caring more about Coach of the Year.
That's a fun discussion.
I think Shanahan's actually done the best job this year.
Why is Liam Cohen getting no love?
I think it's a Jaguars problem in general, because George and I have been, like, kind of on the Jags. Like, they've been nasty for the last 6 weeks. Because
Trevor Lawrence has been awesome.
Well, and this is where I push back.
That Jags defense has been crazy.
Jags defense has been incredible. Run game's been awesome.
ETN is
run game's been
people.
Awesome. Trevor is kind of doing the all or nothing thing.
So I'm looking at the betting market right now.
He was awesome against the Jets, but again,
yeah,
Jets.
So if you look at the betting market, Vrabel's the favorite, which I think is fair.
I mean, I do think there's an argument Gerard Mayo may never get another head coaching job, because, like, this in hindsight is like, wow, you were terrible.
So Vrabel's the favorite, minus 140. Shanahan's plus 190. Mike McDonald's plus 750. If they beat the 49ers, his odds drastically drop, and they're a favorite to do so.
I want to be clear. I think Mike McDonald's a very good coach. I have noticed he is the Mina Kimes candidate. Let me put someone else, because Mina's a Seahawks fan. So, like, I'm trying. He is the football study hall. The nerds love Mike McDonald.
I think he's done a pretty good job. Like, he's done a great job this year.
I also think it's a very good organization.
That's true.
But I do think he is a very good coach.
Right. Why is Liam Cohen 12-1?
I don't understand this.
What? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
He's going to win the division.
The Jaguars had, what, the third pick last year?
And, like, the Houston Texans are no jabronis. Like, they're going to make the playoffs. Like, yeah, the Titans suck. Okay, cool. There's a lot of divisions that have bad teams in it. The AFC East has two bad teams in the division.
Thanks.
Like, how is Liam Cohen 12-1 to win Coach of the Year? Now, maybe when the voting comes to fruition in February and he gets no first, I'm just like, I don't. And once again, it's betting. I could bet it myself. So if I want to put a little money on 12-1, maybe I should. But, like, look, I would not be upset if Vrabel wins it, if Shanahan wins it. But I think it should be like a 3-man race. And also, by the way, Ben McDonald's 40-1.
You mean Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson, excuse me, yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, like, so this is...
They're going to win the division, too!
Well, like, that's kind of my pushback on when Cohen's getting overlooked. It's like, well, Ben Johnson's getting overlooked. And also, Ben Johnson also has... And I guess you could maybe make the same argument for Liam Cohen, but it's like the Lions noticeably look different without Ben Johnson. I would argue with Liam Cohen... It's not the Bucs necessarily look that much different. The Bucs, it's just ever since I think Baker got hurt in the Rams game, and ever since then they've not been.
I can't believe the Buccaneers can make the playoffs.
Well, I can't believe that the Panthers can.
Well, and also now the Falcons have a say in this whole thing.
Well, someone needs to explain this to me. If the Falcons beat the Saints, even though that game's going to happen on Sunday, because I think they intentionally put the
correct.
They intentionally put the Saturday game as Bucks Panthers.
So they were assuming,
but they were the way they explained it last night was straight up wrong, because the way that they laid it out, it's like all those teams will be 3-3 in the division, and they're like, well, they'll have the most division wins, and they win. It's like, well, no, I assume it's going to go to conference wins, but then I looked at conference wins, they would all finish with 6. Like, I think we're getting into, like, the fifth tiebreaker territory.
And the fifth tiebreaker goes to Carolina.
Right. I do understand. Listen, I do not think ESPN was getting up there and telling us the scenario that was wrong. I think they explained it incorrectly. Because the key giveaway was they put the game on Saturday. so that the result would not be impacted.
Well, and they thought that the Falcons, as a 7.5-point underdog to the Rams, would lose, and then that would just eliminate this possibility. But now, because they won, if the Falcons beat the Saints on Sunday, it could affect the Buccaneers.
Correct.
So the Buccaneers could win on Saturday.
And then,
and not make the playoffs.
Yes. So if this, yes, if they win on Saturday, which I'm not sure they are, because also we have the Carolina set up, right? They just alternate wins, losses, wins, losses, wins, losses. They lost this week, so they'll probably win this week. But I mean, we are now at the point where the NFC South, I don't feel like we bring it up enough. Like, I feel like the AFC South has taken the punching bag for so much of it. And, you know, for a while, the NFC Beast before the Eagles just kind of started dominating it. Like, we were kind of a pillow fight. But, man, the NFC South doesn't disappoint.
I don't think this is an overreaction because it's happened too many times before. We got to stop with this nonsense where you win your division, you get a playoff game. 6 of your 17 games are division games. I'm fine with you getting in the playoffs, like whatever. But it's kind of like the NBA when like they tried to tell us that divisions matter for a while, and then they're like, this is stupid.
I kind of go back and forth.
The fact that either Seattle, San Francisco, or the Rams with 12 or 13 wins are going to be at maybe a under 500 football team is just absurd.
All right, so I was looking this up. All right, road playoff wins by each season. Do you realize your once upon a time beloved Washington Redskins / football team / Commanders, they were the only road team to win a playoff game last year. They won 2.
Went to Detroit, whooped that butt.
And then
they beat Tampa?
Tampa, round? I think Tampa, and that game came down to the end, right? That was like the Bucs either kicked a field goal or missed a field goal, and then Jaden just had to go get a field goal. Like, I remember thinking, like, okay, the Bucs are still very much in this. All right, 2023, 3 road playoff wins. 22, 3 road playoff wins. 21, 5 road playoff wins. This is my all-time favorite. In the 2020 season, there were 7 road playoff wins. Can anyone imagine what was different about that season?
That was COVID year.
Correct. Nobody's in the stands.
Yeah. And Tampa went on the road all 3 rounds, right?
Correct. Tampa's our last wild card Super Bowl
champion.
Tampa
went to Washington.
Correct. Against Heinicke.
That's right.
I think it was Taylor Heinicke.
It was definitely Taylor Heinicke.
2019, 4 road playoff wins. This is another interesting one. In 2018, there were 5 road playoff wins, but no team had more than 1. So there was 5 different teams that won one road playoff game. 2017, 3 road playoff wins, 16, 2, 15, 4, 14, 2, 13, 4, 12, 4, 11, 2, all the Giants, not that I was counting. 2010, 6, 3 of which were by the Packers. 09, 3, 08, 5, 07, 5, 06, 2, 05, 6, 04, 4, 03, 4, 02, 2, 03, I'm sorry, 01, 3 road playoff wins in the 2002. I bring all that up to say it does feel like the teams that you trust the most are going to be on the road and in the wild card spots. Should we be trusting them?
The road teams?
Correct. Because I think also to bring it all back together, I think part of the reason why we trust a lot of these road teams is we think they have better quarterbacks.
I mean, I'm going to be betting on some home teams, that's for sure.
Let me tell you what. Whoever Buffalo plays in the first round, I'm taking the Bills.
So they are probably headed toward
New England.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be awesome.
Now,
is that going to be the Monday Nighter? That's going to be a fun guessing game. What will be the Monday
Nighter? Who? Okay. All right. So let's think of the matchups right now. All right. So if we were to use the standings right now, New England would host Buffalo. Jacksonville would host the Chargers. That's the Saturday night Peacock.
Yeah.
No, that's not. Who's going to be the early Saturday game? That's going to be whoever the Panthers play, right?
All right, hang in there. Let's think about this. No, Monday night has to be a 4-5 because they need to know the result of who they're sending to the one.
Oh.
So the 4-5.
Man, because you got two awesome options. You've got Patriots, Bills, 2-7, and you've got Bears, Packers.
I think the 2-7. Monday night's going to be whoever wins the North and the Texans. That's my Monday night game.
Okay, I can see that. It's definitely not going to be the Panthers.
Exactly, because I don't think it's going to be the Panthers. Panthers will be our Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. The old ABC special.
Whatever. They
used to be the ABC special.
The Houston Texans special. Right. Like, this was just when you'd watch the Houston Texans, like with Connor Cook or the Yates of Hell coming out. All right. Then we would have Bears,
Packers.
That feels Sunday Night Football. Right?
It's not locked in yet, but I mean, Eagles, Bears, Rams.
So Bears Packers feels Sunday Night Football.
Bears Packers is rating sex.
Bills Pats feels to me Nance Romo.
Midday, yeah. CBS.
CBS, yeah. 325.
Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah, that's a good one.
And then three Eagles. God, what are they?
Eagles, Rams.
Eagles, Rams. Is that
Saturday night?
Saturday night did we put something at Saturday night?
No.
So that's Saturday night.
And where do we put the CMC revenge game? Is that that early Saturday window?
49ers at Panthers?
Well, so who would...
No,
the
49ers Panthers would be the early Saturday game, right?
Yeah.
What we're saying is the earliest game is CMC Panthers... Game. Yeah, the Panthers... If it's Panthers Niners or Panthers Seahawks, that game's going at Saturday at 4:30 or whatever.
The earlier game.
Correct.
Right.
I feel pretty good about those.
I do, too.
All right. Bo Nix. All right, so this is something that I don't feel like is getting enough oxygen. You know Bo Nix hates dogs?
I did see this.
Why is this not brought up with every... It should be, you know, once upon a time the Romans would do at the end of every speech, and Carthage must be destroyed. And Bo Nix hates dogs should be the end of every sentence in which you would mention Bo Nix. That is a problem. It's not the Burrow. Burrow prefers cats, but Burrow's not anti-dog.
Nix is anti-dogs.
Nix is straight up anti-dog.
Man, I've never really been a big Bo Nix guy. This is a big...
I know, like, it's one of those things where it's like my wife was asking me, like, you're the biggest anti-Bo Nix guy of all time. It's like, well, I think he's probably a nice enough guy, but, like, I hate watching him play quarterback. Why is this never brought up? Because they tried to spin zone it that... Which one of Herb Street's dogs travels the...
Was it Peter?
Is it Peter? Is that the new one?
I think so.
That...
I know it's annoying, but... It's a cute dog.
I still love... I'm a dog. It's the parading.
It is, but...
It's the parading, and I love the dog.
It's a great dog.
It's also cheating. There's never been a bad golden retriever. Like, it's... That's
part of... That was Kirk's selling point. He was saying, look, if you get a dog, this is what you need to get.
Like, they even had video of Stidham last week and be like, oh, yeah, he is scared. Like, he hates dogs. And Stidham obviously has the Auburn connection, not just Denver. Why is this not a bigger talking point?
I'm surprised that Colin Cowherd hasn't made this like the lead for. Like,
well,
four
the
days.
Problem though is he kind of got caught. You know, he's big Bo Nix, but then when Bo was starting to look pretty stinky, he was trying to flip flop. But my favorite thing about Cowherd in 2025, I say this from a point of affection. He just acts like whatever he said yesterday did not matter. It exists in its own vacuum.
He did a whole bit on Notre Dame should be in over Miami, and then a week later did a whole bit on how Miami should be in over Notre Dame.
Correct. And he always gives the takes with conviction. I don't even think he's like, I just think he acts like everything happens. Today is a new day. But I was shocked to learn that this had not been brought up. This should be front page news. This is a problem. It could also be a lesson to all the other quarterbacks out there, like, don't come out as anti-dog.
Just keep that to yourself.
Yeah. Plain and simple.
Yep.
All right, let's take a quick break. I want to discuss, how do we feel about no longer G-leaguers being eligible to play college basketball? How do we feel about guys that have played NBA games being eligible to play college basketball? Let's talk about this next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, Tim, before we discuss what we might be wagering on, last night, John Calipari was on fire. I mean, I've seen him do this, like, in person where, like, I watched him one time. He went up to Andy Kennedy after a game. Like, he came up to him. He was like, what do you need me to say? And he went and just did, like, a 15-minute soliloquy about what a great job Andy Kennedy has done because he's recruiting in Tad Smith Coliseum. There's, like, asbestos. There's rats running around. Like, I've seen it when he has the pre-prepared remarks. But this is what I want to discuss with you. Does anybody care what this is doing for the 17- and 18-year-old American kids? Do you know what this opportunity has done for them and their families? There aren't going to be any high school kids. Who other than dumb people like me are going to recruit high school kids? I get so much satisfaction out of coaching young kids and seeing them grow and make it, and their families and their lives change. Then I'm going to keep doing that. But why would anybody else? If you can get NBA players, G League players, guys that are 28 years old, guys from Europe, do we really know their transcript? Do we have somebody over there? Do we really know their birth certificate, or don't we? We've got no rules. So, of course, this comes on the report yesterday that Flowers, on three, ran with that Flowers was going to try to get eligibility despite playing eight NBA games. George tells me that David Cobb has said he's dug on that from CBS. He thinks that that's a non-starter. But I was trying to think about this. I don't have a great reason, but the guys that went G League and play in college basketball, that doesn't sit right with me.
The guys who went G League and come back and play college?
Correct.
I agree. Now, the only thing that I've always been a proponent of was if you go into the draft and you don't get drafted, I always felt like you should be able to keep your eligibility.
Yeah, for me, I'm kind of applying the rules of, I think about it.
That's what baseball does, right?
Baseball.
You don't declare, you just get drafted.
Correct.
And you have to make the decision
exactly
if you're going to go or not.
When you turn professional, you turn professional.
Right.
You forego your ability to play college. I also, though, understand it's like, well, how do you balance the difference between guys that have played overseas professionally?
Right.
I feel like they slipped that one through in the middle of the night, and then that opened up the G League can of worms.
And it's like they're a different level.
Right.
I mean, I know there is a different level, right? There's elite leagues over in Europe. And if you play low level, like I had a buddy of mine who coached, I think in the, not the top tier, but like the second tier in Italy.
Okay.
And like, yeah, dude, there's gonna be like 16-year-olds in that league. And should those guys not be allowed to play college basketball when you could probably argue that college basketball at a high level is better than those teams? So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't been like, I mean, what was that? When was this? A couple days ago when it came out, and my goodness, it was like the take. Everybody had it out there with the G League. He was drafted, what, like 31st or something like that?
31st.
Yeah, that was James Nnaji.
Correct. He never played here, and then he played for FC Barcelona, and they had him out on loan to maybe like one of the Greek teams.
It was a Turkish team.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't fire me. Like, look, if you play in the NBA, you're done. I actually, like, and now that league is, that team is defunct, but what was that team that played?
Ignite.
The Ignite. Like, would you be opposed if someone, a kid skipped his senior year of high school, played for the Ignite, and then came back and played college basketball?
If he turned professional.
Okay.
But this is where the lines, this is where the lines get blurred. I actually believe college basketball is professional now.
Right.
So
what is different? And there's different levels. Like, you could argue that high level D1 is like the premier European league, and you know, the Sun Belt and the MEAC and SWAC, etc., are lower levels. And that's kind of what has been for years. Now it's like you ball out in mid major and then you get poached up to the big leagues, essentially.
It also feels like basketball was ripe for all of this. I guess because there's so many, there's, you know what I mean? Like, there's all these European leagues and whatnot. Like, I don't know. I'm with you. Like, the NBA one set off all the takes, but I just kind of think it's as simple as, like, if you declared your intention to not play college basketball, like, I am for life has consequences.
And there's no comp for football. There's
no.
None. You know, there is no. There's no European league. There's no, you know, I imagine, I don't know for sure, I imagine this happens in collegiate soccer, where kids turn pro at 16 over in Europe, and then do they come and play?
That's a great question.
Like, I would think this has happened for a while in soccer. Like, is there, there has to be, like, you can't play.
Well, because, like, I was thinking about tennis, because tennis is another big recruit, the Euros, but most of those guys have not turned pro yet. It's like, the ones that
and
are
golf,
good,
there's pretty, you know, golf really well.
Yes.
There's a pretty distinct thing of distinction.
You turn professional or you go to college, but now there's also, that's starting to get blurred. Because then also the one that always drives me insane is when a guy that's like 31 years old and didn't make it on tour gets his reinstated amateur status and then can go and clean up on like the U.S. mid-am circuit. That one drives me insane.
Because I imagine for soccer, and once again, I am flying blind here, so
it seems like that would have arisen.
If you're in the elite, if you're playing for Chelsea, or
if you're in the academies, yeah.
Yeah, if you're playing for one of those, like, and you're in, you know, you're playing in the elite leagues, you can't go and play collegiate soccer. But yeah, I would imagine lower down, some of those guys who got brought up through the, man, I'm also watching the Independence Bowl. These dudes are smoking each other.
Yeah, there's been bad blood. They said that the game was chippy early, and then there have been guys that have been getting hit out of bounds. Like, they're laying the wood down in Shreveport. All right, what have you – you said you took – when you saw Georgia at 6.5, you took that.
Yep, and that's still out there. That hasn't really moved, which does make me a little worried. You know, the market hasn't really budged on that one, but I laid it with Georgia. I did take a little of Miami when it touched 10. That is not there right now. I think it will show up. I did bet Miami and Ohio State first half under. 21.5 was very juiced. 20.5 is out there. I haven't bet it yet, but we talked about it. I think Max Clair, I'm not a big prop guy, but I think Max Clair could have some yardage against Miami. His number is like 30.5 at FanDuel. And I went against Diego. I took the points with Iowa. And first half under in the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Stauer sitting out, right?
We don't know. My guess would be yes, but I don't think that's official yet. Iowa is full go. You know, defensively against Oregon, against Indiana, against USC, held all those teams under 400 yards. Also, Iowa's offense is horrific, so that's fun, always betting teams like that. But does the karma come back and bite Diego in his final game?
I'm going to bet he doesn't care.
He does not care.
That's for one thing.
You mean care about karma or care about this game? He definitely cares about the game.
It totally cares about the game. I don't think he
doesn't care what
this isn't the first time. This isn't the first time he's come under fire. This is a man that
he peed on New Mexico's practice field.
Correct. This is not someone that cares about that one way or the other. I think I'm going to bite. I think I'm going to take Miami. I think it's stupid, but I just kind of think that game's going to be kind of a slog.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I feel like the entire world thinks Alabama's going to lose.
I don't know. Like, it's funny because I feel like the people who are betting on Indiana in my life are like, everyone thinks Alabama's going to cover. And then
I just feel like everyone I've been looking. What is neighbor Nick? We got to start.
I don't know what neighbor Nick is thinking on this one.
Because my only problem with Georgia, I actually, like, right after I came back, I got back to where I was staying after that game in Oxford, and I was like, whatever the number is, I'm laying it. It now just feels like the whole world thinks that they're going to blow them out.
Georgia?
Yeah.
Yeah, neighbor Nick might be on Georgia, which makes me worried.
But if it makes you feel any better.
I think neighbor Nick is going to be on Ohio State.
Like, my whole thing with Ole Miss was, I think Ole Miss is now properly exactly where they should be. I think they are clearly a top 10 team, but I do not think that they are a Final Four team.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
And that's a good, solid football team.
I just think Georgia's playing exceptional football, too, right now. It's not really a knock. It's a little bit of a knock on Ole Miss because, like, I just want to see what Pete Golding is as a he's a second-game head coach.
Well, I'm also kind of leaning towards I kind of want to fade these teams off the long layoff.
Well, last year, all of them lost.
Now, granted, that was scheduling to, you know, like the seeding and whatnot. But
right, Boise, Arizona State.
Yeah.
But Oregon was there. Granted, they played Ohio State, Georgia.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards I think the layoff matters. All right, my man, I'll let you go.
All right, see you, man.
That, of course, is Tim Murray. Happy New Year to you, too, buddy. That is Tim Murray of VSiN. We come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George, today's Don't Tell The Story, Tell Your Story. Today's submission comes to us from Connor Dunning, the Chargers' official social media accounts.
Ah, yes.
Tweeted out, closer to Canton, with a picture of Drew Brees. Feels like they're missing a little bit there.
It's a choice. It's a decision.
Just something they chose to do. Don't tell the story. Tell your story. Yeah, his whole career, just in San Diego, just with the Chargers. Want to thank Tim Murray for being with us. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show with Connor and George coming up next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.